Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily News, and with my boys, Duke and Mailman. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What's up?
What's up, everybody? We good, man.
All right, let's get to it. We got a couple topics that are near and dear to us. Our first topic of the day, man, we are having a conversation about mental health, man. We've talked about it a couple times about how things in our lives can affect our own mental health. And this is a more of accountability segment, man. We understand knowing that things can affect us. We also know some of the things that we can do can affect other people's mental health. Importantly, more importantly, the people that we are with, our loved ones, the people we care about. So, and sometimes we all make mistakes. We all fuck up. It is what it is. But I'm going to pose this question out to you, fellas. What do you do when you are the one at fault for affecting your partner's mental health in a negative way?
Nothing.
I mean, this is a simple question to me. I mean, you fuck up, you apologize for it, and make it sincere.
I think it's a tough topic because I think when you're in a relationship, there's an issue with admitting that you're wrong in a lot of people, right? There's a sense that you gotta be right, and that fight of I need to be right, you need to be wrong, can sometimes be the catalyst in my mind for negatively affecting your person's mental health, right? Because all you're trying to do is win a fight. And I don't know, man. I'm not about that. I'm not about the whole winners or losers in relationship.
I'm thinking like it kind of goes back to what we was talking about when we was talking about accountability. How, you know what I'm saying, holding yourself accountable for your actions. And, you know what I'm saying, sometimes that means apologizing to people. But sometimes, you know what I'm saying, apology just ain't enough, you know what I'm saying? Because I think my opinion, the best apology is the one that you don't have to repeat again. When you do something and you know you're wrong for doing that to your partner and you apologize for it, but the biggest thing is to make sure that you don't do that again to them. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes you can apologize for doing something and it just falls on deaf ears because, you know what I mean, they figure or they know, or you just go right back and do the same thing again. And so that's
that kind of goes into my short 3 seconds. So, like I said, it's pretty simple. Like, you got to mean what you say, because if you don't mean what you say, you will repeat it. So you do have to reflect, understand what you did that hurt your partner or whomever, and try to have empathy towards that situation. And then when you come to that conclusion, that's when you can come up with the thoughts in your head or in your mind, excuse me, to express how you feel or express the apology on, you know, knowing that you made somebody feel bad. I mean, that's what I said. It's simple to me because, I mean, maybe just because of the age bracket that I'm in now, I've done all the I need to be right shit 20 years ago. I'm past all that anymore. I don't need to be right all the time. When I realize that I'm wrong as an adult, I know how to apologize. Mm-hmm. That probably wasn't the case when I was 20 something years old, but that's the case now. So that's what I said. Like, for me, that's like an easy thing at this point in time in my life.
You know what my biggest thing was, well, that I'm, you know, I'm kind of still working on that right now, is that a lot of times when I'm having a disagreement with somebody or with my girlfriend, you know what I'm saying, I have a hard time with that having to be right. And it's not so much that I have to be right. It's just that if I know I am right about something, and you trying to argue with me about, you know what I'm saying, my position on it, and I get to this point where I'll shut down, or I don't listen to what somebody's saying and hearing their point. And that's like my biggest thing that I've been working on, is actually just listening to somebody and letting them, you know what I'm saying, hear what they have to say, to see how it is that I've wronged them or hurt their feelings or something first. Because mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times I would just brush past that shit and be like, no, this is what the fuck actually happened. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I'm dealing more with, you know what I'm saying, with the actual action of what happened versus how the person felt about the action. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so trying to distinguish between those two was like kind of a big issue for me. But now, you know what I'm saying, I'm slowly learning that, you know what I'm saying, I have to take a step back, stop, and just listen for a minute. And when I say listen, it's like Duke been saying too, you don't listen to rebuttal, you know what I'm saying, you listen to understand.
Listen to understand, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say. That's why I've been preaching that for a minute now.
Yeah, I've been listening.
It makes a difference. It's crazy.
It makes a whole lot of fucking difference, because it's then it gets to what like me saying about how, you know what I'm saying, that, oh, I just got to be right. Well, nobody wants to be wrong, but I mean, to think that you're going to always be right in every damn thing, you fucking delusional. You know what I mean? You know, nobody's 100% right all the damn time. And like, I realize that and I know that. And that's how I'm like, I'll apologize for shit that I do. It's when I generally feel like I've done something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, if I haven't generally done anything wrong or that deserving of an apology, I'm not fucking apologizing for that shit. Mm.
I actually, on that note, I had to learn this right in a relationship, because there would be times like, I'm not apologizing, I ain't done shit wrong, right? And then there's times you apologize not because of what you did wrong or right, it's the effect that it's caused, and that can be a very, very slippery slope, right? Because then you just apologizing for shit that shouldn't be needing apology, right? And so one of the things I came to the conclusion of, a lot of times in relationships, you just arguing about the dumbest shit in the world, right? And I've gotten to a point now where I'm like so over arguing that I'll be like, all right, fit like, you know, 30, 45 seconds into this, I'm like, yo, okay, cool. Okay, we disagreeing on this shit. What's the solution? Okay, are you just mad to be mad and don't want to help with the solution? What's the solution to where we can finish this, end it, cut it, and just move on from it, right?
Right.
And I think that's a really hard place to get to, where everything's more like, let's fix it, instead of just sitting here and dwelling on the shit.
Now, I also want to maybe be clear about something too. When I say a certain shit I'm just not going to apologize for, I'm talking about like, your ass had a dream that I was cheating on you that night. You know what I'm saying? And then wake up and mad at a motherfucker, don't expect me to be apologizing. It's like, I ain't even fucking did shit. I'm not apologizing for nothing. You know what I mean? I know I ain't the only one that woke up to their girlfriend like, I just had a dream you cheating on me with your baby mama, some bullshit like that. I ain't did shit. I've been laying next to your ass all night.
I think every one of us have woken up one time and seen a woman glaring at us about some shit that we didn't did. Like, I can't believe you would do that. What did I do? You was messing with that one girl. What girl? You would know the one you saw yesterday. I was sick yesterday. We was isolated in the house. You had COVID or some shit. I don't know, man.
I know. I swear to God, one day my girl woke up. She wasn't even here with me. She was at her own crib. She fucking called me that morning and was like mad at me because of a dream she had that we had some kind of space boots, some futuristic boots that let you, you know what I'm saying, jump real high and shit. And people was like in some type of place where they were being confined. And, you know, I was saving people and I didn't save her, but she had on the boots too. But she was like mad as hell at me because
you were saving her.
Yeah, I was saving everybody else, but I ain't save her in her dream. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you were saving that other bitch.
But you ain't gonna save me.
Yeah.
See, I just flat out told him, I'm like, this is your dream. You could have saved your damn self. You had boots on too.
Wake up. That's how you save yourself. That's it.
All right.
But that's what I was saying. I agree with you, right? Because where you were like, where you're like, no, I'm just not gonna apologize for shit that I did wrong. I was going the passive aggressive route where I was at one point apologizing for shit that I knew wasn't wrong, that I knew I was right in. I just didn't want to argue it. You mean, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. Wait, what? You talking to that one girl? I'm sorry. You know, and knowing damn well I ain't doing nothing wrong and shit like that. I just don't want to have that conflict. And so it's a balance, man.
No, I get exactly what you're saying. Cause sometimes you can freaking, you know what I'm saying? Some people just want to argue and just want to fight for the sake of, you know what I'm saying, getting that emotional reaction out of you. And you know, that is, I call it power and control. You know what I'm saying? Like, they was one person that's trying to get power and another person trying to get control. Mm-hmm. Trying to, you know, the person that's trying to get control is trying to control the situation to the point to where it's de-escalated. It's, you know what I'm saying, no longer, you know what I'm saying, a fight. And the person that's wanting power is, you know what I'm saying, that person that wants to be right. The, you know, this is what happened, you know, blah, 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 the rule, rah, rah, rah shit. And that's the kind of shit that I cannot get behind, is, like you said, News, that fighting. And sometimes you do just have to apologize just so that the situation gets de-escalated, because we've always been talking, already been talking about that toxicity, and some relationships are toxic where woman just, you know what I'm saying, or man just want some attention from the other person, and they'll start an argument or a fight just for, you know what I'm saying, to get some attention. And all attention ain't good attention. Yeah. You know?
And not all of it's like purposeful. Like, some of it's just accidental. You know what I mean? It's just like I had a friend that was saying that she switched the night shifts, and because her and her man aren't seeing each other enough, now they're starting to have issues, because this is instinctively, like, this is the way I get attention, right? And I was like, you know, you could just say, hey, I need a date night. And he'd probably be like, yeah. And she's like, I don't need to ask him. And then sure enough, like the next day, she was like, so we went on a date because I told him I needed a date night. He was like, okay, fine, let's go out to the movies.
Nice. Right. Hey, that was like my other saying, closed mouths don't get fed. If you need something from your you know, partner or something like that, you need something from them, then don't be afraid to voice that and say, hey, this is what I need from you. Are you capable or able to do this? And if not, can we find a compromise, you know?
Yeah, and it's also important to understand that the more mental health issues that you have to understand that this affects the partner that loves you, right? And so if you are going to have mental health issues, if you cannot, and I say this respectfully, I'm not trying to attack women, right? If you are having days, weeks, months, whatever the case may be, even as men, when we get like stressed out because we're working too much, of these like stressed out days where your mental health is not right, and then you then try to build a relationship with someone, that shit will affect them. And you have to take responsibility for that. Not only are you not addressing your shit, but now because of that, it is affecting the person that you supposedly care about. And that's a...
And that leads to an argument, and now y'all fighting, and now somebody got to apologize to the other one for some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, everything still comes down to communication. If you guys have open communication with each other, then obviously it's not going to cure everything, but it gives you a better chance of solving anything. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because you're communicating, and then you're both understanding, then you get a better understanding on where the other person is coming from when you listen to understand, and then it gives you a better shot at getting over whatever it is that happened and not causing somebody to fall into a depression or to fall into, you know, sparking something with mental illness or what have you. Because, you know, mental illness obviously is not a choice. Like, you know, unfortunately, that's just something that people get diagnosed with. So they don't have a choice in that matter, but they have a say, and you can help them have a say in how it affects them or how much it affects them based off of the communication that you guys do or do not have.
Right. I was just saying, that reminded me of something that I saw today where there was a couple, a married couple, talking, and the husband was telling the wife that he learned to lie to her. And because she taught him to lie to her. And I was like, whoa, how the fuck does that work? And he said it was because when he tried to be honest with her and express how he felt, she got angry behind it. Mm-hmm. And so made it so that if he didn't feel comfortable being honest with her and telling her about how he feel. And so now, instead of, you know, saying risk being punished by the silent treatment or, you know what I'm saying, a fight behind him telling and being honest about how he felt, he just chose to not, you know what I'm saying, not fight and just lie about what he was actually feeling. Mm-hmm. You know? And so I'm like, that's one of those things too, where like I've seen it happen. It was happening to me in my own relationships in the past as well too, that, you know, it goes back to what we were saying in other episodes as well, that you got to create that space for, you know, people to be able to openly communicate with you too, and let them be honest, mm-hmm. and then not punish them for, you know, for being honest with you and telling you how they feel about something. It's okay to, you know, saying, to be in your feelings about it, or, you know, saying that it upsets you, but it, you know, saying you got to let people be honest with, you know, saying how they feel, or else, you know, saying you basically communicate in a lie or bullshit.
I forget where I heard it from, but it was a saying that if someone tells you how they are feeling, what their mental state is and how they are feeling, your reaction is now responsible for their feelings, right? So if I come to my lady and I'm like, hey, listen, I'm overwhelmed with this, that, and the third, and she either A, dismisses it, like, oh, you'll be fine, you can deal with it, this is something you always do, stop complaining, or flip it on her where it's like, oh, you think you had it bad, this is what I'm dealing with. You have now dismissed this person's feelings, and now they won't feel comfortable coming to you. And this is when you get the typical response of, oh, so how are you doing today? I'm fine. I'm okay. Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. Don't worry about it. Men and women alike, just people in general. And so it's important, like you said, to create that safe place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a hard one right there, though, what you're just talking about now, because a lot of times you got to distinguish between if somebody's just trying to show you that they understand by giving you an example of their own personal experience, or are they just trying to, you know, saying take the spotlight away from you and totally dismiss your feelings? Because a lot of times some people will say that, oh, well, you know, this happened to me too, as a way of trying to let you know that, hey, I understand it, you know what I'm saying, on that level that you coming from, because it's happened to me too.
Yeah.
And trying to, you know, say balance that and figure those things out can get a little tricky.
Yeah, it's the best of intentions, but not the same results. So, not the right results. So, yeah, no, it's I don't know what the hell that sound was, but
I'm like, well, yeah.
I was like, bleh.
Yeah, it's all bleh.
Oh man. So, all right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, not too long ago, we had the lovely Bahia Shabazz on one of our episodes to talk to us about Brown Girls Do Invest. Brown Girls Do Invest is a nonprofit organization established to educate women to invest in stocks, real estate, and to acquire multiple lines of income while encouraging women to invest and build a diverse financial portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest develops money management skills and positive behavior in middle school and high school children, as well as the working class woman, to improve opportunities to build that diverse portfolio. Brown Girls Do Invest offers a year-round education, community-based programs, educational meetings, financial literacy programs, and even a mentorship program. Definitely check out browngirlsdoinvest.com and also on their Twitter and Facebook at Brown Girls Do Invest for more information. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the episode. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to a second topic of the day. We were looking at some things about our growth. And as we've said multiple times, this podcast is about growth as us as individuals and us as our listeners grow, and addressing the things that we need to grow in, these aspects of life that we need to improve in order to become successful people. And one of the things about improving is also being held back from improving. So my question to you is, on your personal journey of growth, not necessarily how do you deal with growing, but how do you deal with the aspects of your life that are holding you back, or even how do you even notice them?
So for me, like, I do a lot of meditating, right? And when I'm meditating, those are the questions that I'm asking myself is, you know what I mean? What areas of my life have I not moved on for? And because I feel like the things that generally tend to hold you back are the things that you haven't moved on from, things you hadn't dealt with, like past trauma and things like that. And so for me, I go back on, look at past relationships that I've been into and see what kind of hurt was caused from those past relationships and see what is it, you know, that I haven't moved on from, what, you know, about that relationship that I'm still holding on to right now, whether it was some hurt that was caused, you know, to me by them, or some hurt that I've caused personally to someone else. And so I'm always, you know what I'm saying, focusing, and then I just tell myself, first off, I got to forgive myself, and then I got to forgive that person. And that kind of is kind of, you know, sets the footwork for me as to how I move forward and try to move past things that may be holding me back.
So it sounds like, Mailman, you are talking more not necessarily the physical, but more about the mental aspect of it, right? The emotional aspect, and psychological aspect of things holding you back, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, because I feel like a lot of things stem from the mind first. You know what I mean? You can, right, speak things into reality. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to a young lady at work the other day, and I was like, well, what I mean by speaking things into reality, you can tell yourself when you're in a relationship with someone that, oh, I know you're going to leave me. I know you're going to leave me. You're just like everybody else has left me. Well, you keep saying it and keep saying it. And of course, you don't want to be wrong. And so you're going to create situations in your relationship to make it so that that person actually leaves you, so that you can be like, see, I was right. I knew you were going to leave me. And so that's that mental, you know what I'm saying, aspect of things, where you can tell yourself some shit that's going to happen. And it happened because you done did things to make sure that it does happen that way. And so I always figured that if I'm going to be able to try to move forward with things in my life, I got to make sure that my mind is not still holding on to past traumas.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
So for me, I took this question more so as a person or people holding you back, or possibly holding you back. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a thin line, because it can go one of two ways, because you could have somebody that you care deeply about, whether that be a friend or relationship, whatever the case may be, and you want the best for them. But for whatever reason, they just not getting it together, and then their energy starts to bring you down. So that has to be identified. And then you have to go two ways with it. Either you try to bring that person's spirit up to you, up to your level, so y'all can all eat and y'all can all be successful in life. Or do you have to say to that person, hey, right now we in just different spaces right now, and I just don't think we are a cohesive unit, and we might just have to go separate ways. Mm-hmm. So the first part is identifying that, is do you care enough about this person to try to help them grow more and get more onto your level, or make the playing field more level, if you will? Or has this person come to you several different times and said, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna get this together, I'm gonna get that together, but they just don't. Mm-hmm. So are they not doing that because they don't want to, or are they not doing that because they don't know how to? Because mm-hmm. if it's a they don't know how to, you can educate them and help them with that. If it's a because of a I don't want to, that might be a situation where you have to go a different way with somebody.
I know we're talking about things that are holding you back, but I feel like y'all giving our listeners breakup advice. You just like, man, look, just let's repeat what y'all say, and this is how we're gonna break up. I think you not doing what you need to do in life, and this is over, and I just gotta keep moving on. And I forgive you, because where I'm at mentally, it just, I don't know, man. I just feel like,
well, see,
go into the same aspect, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a relationship, period. It doesn't matter mm-hmm. if it's between a male and a female, or a sexual relationship, or if it's a personal relationship. So mm-hmm. it's still You're right. It's the same advice, basically, because relationship with someone is still a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And same thing with you, Mel, man, a relationship mentally, you know what I mean? With past trauma and things that have happened to you in events. And so,
well, my in response to what Duke was saying, like me, I feel the opposite. Like, I feel like I'm not responsible for somebody else's journey. Where they are in their life is where they are in their life. And maybe that's where they meant to be in their life. That's their journey. It's not my job or my duty to, you know what I'm saying, try to influence somebody else's journey or tell someone else that they're not where they should be at because they're not on my level per se. You know what I mean? Like, or try to, you know what I'm saying, help them do whatever it is. Cause who says that they want to be at your level and that's the path that they want to go down?
You know, so let me hold on. I don't mean to cut you off there. I'm not saying they got to be on my level. I'm saying they should have something to aspire to get to their level. I'm talking about somebody that's not to the level that they have told you that they want to be to.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now that makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I saw a saying that, that said, moving forward is the only way to feel the shackles on your ankles. And it's this idea that if you stay complacent and stay in one spot, you will never understand what is holding you back. But if you start moving forward, then those things come to light because now you can feel those burdens. You can feel that weight on you a little bit more. You know what I mean? I can't feel a weight when it's steady, but when I'm carrying it block by block by block, then all of a sudden, oh no, I feel, you know, this on my shoulder. This weight is more heavier than I thought it was when I was just sitting down and sitting still. And so I think the important thing is just identifying it, right? And then understanding that if you are carrying weight, whether it be mental or physical, when it comes to people holding you back or trauma holding you back or anything holding you back in life or what it is you want to do, it's one thing to understand, to identify it, and then also to address it in a way that doesn't hinder your growth or your path. At the same token, understanding that that needs to come off you, because you can slow up for some people, but some it's not worth it, especially depending on what your growth is.
Right. Well, I think the most important thing though is to have a very clear and concise idea of where it is that you're trying to go. You know what I mean? If you don't know what direction you're heading into, you know what I'm saying? You could be moving forward, but still, you know what I'm saying, moving in a fucking circle the whole freaking time. So if you don't, you know what I mean? So it don't matter how much baggage you carrying around, if you're going in a complete circle the whole fucking time, you're not getting anywhere either. So, like, I think the most important thing is to actually have, you know what I'm saying, a clear head and mindset and of where you're trying to go. What is this goal that you're trying to get accomplished first? And then start working towards and making, I mean, and working towards that goal. And you can have small goals that will help lead up to your big ultimate goal, but as long as you're moving forward towards those goals, then you can start thinking about, okay, well, now I'm moving towards this, so what is it that, you know what I'm saying, keeping me from getting this small goal accomplished so that I can get to my big goal?
Mm-hmm. Correct. So it's called understanding your why. So the first thing you do, kind of like what you said, you start with your why. So what is it? What's your focus or what is your goal? And then you basically work backwards from it. So this is my end goal. This is where I want to be. Then you start thinking about, okay, so what are the steps to get to that? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's just another way of saying formulate a plan, you know, because a dream without a plan is just that. It's just a dream. If you're not executing that plan, it's just going to always be your dream to do something and you're never going to actually do it. So you have to create that plan and then most importantly, start executing that plan, or you're just going to be sitting up there as a dreamer for the rest of your life. And then life is going to pass you by, unfortunately.
Facts.
That's so do y'all remember in school when they had this little exercise called brainstorming?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about, where you write your ultimate goal in the bubble and then you take the branches off of it and put, you know what I'm saying? Like, I still use that shit to this day. You know what I'm saying?
I flunked that class.
I still use that shit to this day. I have, you know what I'm saying, my main goal, and I circle that main goal, and then I branch off, you know what I'm saying, okay, what am I going to need to get to that goal? You know what I'm saying? Okay, and then what am I going to take to get to that goal? And then once I get, just like you were saying, Duke, you know what I'm saying, you start out with goal and work your way backwards, and then that's how you start moving forward. Okay, I need to do mm-hmm. this before I can do that so that I can get this done. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yep.
That was one of the techniques that I still use to this day, you know, brainstorming. I learned that shit in probably eighth grade.
Yep.
And it's definitely something too, like what you said, Melman, is creating smaller goals first, because once you start achieving those goals, you're like, oh shit, I can do this. Okay. I may have started, and I'm talking about start with something as simple as every morning when you wake up, make your bed. It's yep. crazy how that changes your psychology. You just, because you're like, oh shit, I got a task completed. All right, what's the next one? You know what I'm saying? Yep. And it becomes infectious and it becomes contagious. And you're like, and then all of a sudden you're gonna be like, damn, I don't. And then you're gonna look back like a week from now, you're gonna be like, oh shit, I did all this shit in a week just because I started with one simple task. So it just, that's all you need to do is start with one simple thing,
and then it becomes a habit. Exactly. Routine. You know what exactly. I'm saying? You get used to and get in the habit of getting goals accomplished, then you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It changed your whole mindset as well. So, like, I'm with you on that shit, dude.
I like it. I love it. So, we want to take a quick break, man. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. We're excited to announce our partnership with Greenlight. Our Greenlight card. Yeah.
Hold on. I wrote a commercial. You want to hear it? Here you go. Greenlight. Because I use it and they're paying me for it. Right. Cha-ching. Bam, there you go.
And that's commercial. All right, back to the show.
And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our third segment of the day.
The next episode of Ratchet News. Me, 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 me. Let's get ratchet.
Oh my god! Every time, never gets old.
It doesn't.
When it do, then the segment's gonna be over. We'll come up with something different. That's all.
Right.
He gonna be like, I'm like on the third segment of the day. He gonna be like, all right, man, let's go.
Hey, it's like on this and this installment of What the Fuck News.
All right, let's get into this, man. All right, ratchet news of the day. Bomb squad is called to a hospital after a man with a World War II era mortar is stuck in his rectum.
Wow. Oh my god.
Yeah, let's get into this, boy. A bomb squad was reportedly called to a hospital in England after a man arrived with a mortar shell stuck in his rectum. Yeah, right.
What the fuck are they doing overseas? You said they were in England.
That's some next level freaky shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Members of the 11 explosive gut. What you saying?
Go ahead.
That brings a whole new meaning to trying to get your back blown out. I'm sorry, I had to.
Oh my god, I hate you so much right now. I'm never gonna be able to look at that term the same way again. I'm never gonna be able to be like, yeah, you got your backbone now. Boom! That's all I want to think. Oh man. Members of the 11 Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment responded to a call from the Royal Hospital on Thursday after the patient was admitted. Reports say that medics were fearful the mortar could possibly still be live and therefore
how let his ass blow up, literally. I don't walk out of his side, I'm like, you know what? Your ass about to blow up. Sorry.
What, man?
Ain't nothing I can do.
I got too many questions. I got too many questions.
Oh, it gets bad. It doesn't get angry.
What do you mean it gets bad?
It's already bad for real. Like, okay. But I'm wondering about size, dimensions, like, you know what I'm saying? How did this motherfucker get stuck? What kind of fucking, you know what I'm saying, mortal round was this? Like, they got stuck.
Here we go. That's the next paragraph. The 57 millimeter mortar with round was used by the Royal Artillery in the Second World War as anti-tank rounds, though it would later be used by British tanks in North Africa, reports say. The length of the mortar was 170 millimeters, is the equivalent to 6.69 inches, and the width was 57 millimeters, is close to 2.24 millimeters.
God damn.
According to, now it's on the screen.
Whoa, that's the fucking round?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
According
to sources, the man was a collector of military memorabilia and somehow slipped and fell on the round.
Ooh. Yeah, right. He slipped and fell on it. Sir, why is there lube around the tip? You slipped and fell on it, huh? Oh, that's a classic lie. Oh, I tripped it and just fell in. I ain't never seen that shit happen a day in my life. I'm sorry. You never slipped and fell on no dick a day.
The unnamed patient told doctors he slipped and fell on a 17 centimeter by 6 centimeter armor piercing projectile taken from his private arsenal of military collectibles, which went on to say that the mortar round was later discovered to be inert and not potentially harmful to anyone. It was not potentially harmful to anyone. It was not currently inside. The man was reportedly released from the hospital and expected to make a full recovery.
Wow. You know,
my asshole is Audi only, so I don't know how to fuck that.
This is how that happens. I love the smell of gunpowder in the morning. Makes my dick hard.
Damn.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Man. That anti-tank round looking mighty scrumptious over there. I call her Charlene. Me and Charlene gonna have some fun.
God. Wait. Wasn't the bomb that dropped on Hiroshima named Big Boy or something like that? Wasn't it called Big Boy or something like that?
Yes, he wanted Little Boy. But that was another one, too. They had two of them that they built at that time. I think that was I don't know if that was the one they dropped on Hiroshima, but I think that was like the names of the first ones ever made. They called it Little Boy or something like that, or Big Boy, some shit like that.
But whatever it is, he need to get it out of his ass. That's what he needed.
Why the fuck would you want to do that? Why is you shoving shit up your ass? You know what? It'd have been easy for you to just go to a fucking store and get a dildo, you know what I'm saying? and just handle your business that way. I don't judge.
Ain't no explosiveness to that, though. Ain't no
that danger, huh? Well, get you a big one that might be bigger than that round. I don't know. I don't judge. I'm not going to judge this man, you know what I'm saying? But damn, dude. Like,
judge, this is dumb as shit. Look, I don't care what your sexual preference is.
And that's what I'm talking about. Like,
what
you shove and where you shove it at is just your business. But damn,
when it comes
dude,
to a person, when you shove an inanimate objects in your area,
make better decisions. Make better decisions on what you do with your butthole, baby.
Right? Good Lord, man.
That's disgusting.
I'm all holding my ass like that.
Hey,
like,
you too. Hey, chicks, I'm clenching up over here too.
You're going to lie the whole time. I'm like,
Don't do it to me.
The dimensions, just everything about this seem wrong. It does. And so, this man ain't even from Florida. This is in England. I was just
Ooh. He's from Florida, England. That's where the fuck he from. Florida, England. That's the name. That's
where he from. I work in the medical field. You know how hard it is to not talk, like, to have a mortar in your ass?
God, that motherfucker was huge.
That's exactly. That was the size of somebody's hand.
That's crazy. 6.69 inches by 2.23 inches. It's about the same size as somebody else's things, too. So
that's fucking what I'm Mandingo warrior and shit.
He probably was like, you know what this remind me of? Jake from Saturday Night. I should call him. Oh, shit. Jake didn't answer the phone. So we just gonna work something out.
Explosive. What the fuck? I swear, people never cease to fucking amaze me with the shit that they fucking do. I just can't believe it. What kind of society we living in? Motherfuckers sticking anti-fucking tank rounds in their ass.
That's crazy. And my man, let's be honest. Who are you lying to? Like, you know, wait. You mean to tell me you gonna walk in the hospital and say, yeah, I was walking butt ass naked.
There's no way he was fucking walking.
I was walking butt ass naked.
There's no way he walked.
In my own house, you know, right? He was coming to the hospital. He ain't walking straight for a little bit.
God damn.
Man, you just gonna go in the hospital and be like, yeah. So what happened was, I was ass naked in my house and I set the mortar round directly on the ground. And so I was just walking, tripped, spun around, and fell on my ass directly on this random mortar that was sitting on the floor. After being in so much pain, I put my underwear and pants on, got dressed, got in my car, and drove to the Just stop.
Why are you lying? Why are you lying, bro? It was an accident.
This is why I couldn't work in the ER. You be hearing some of the craziest stories, man.
Biggest lies.
Yeah. Now, there's some stories, man, that you won't hear. That ain't lying. This is dead truth. True story. Ain't gonna say who. I don't know a person's name. Okay. All right. I don't know if this is ratchet news, but this is just some crazy news, okay? My man was talking to me, not in the hospital. I wasn't in the hospital, no HIPAA violations. This is just a friend of mine. He went to the hospital because he had broken his male member. He was bragging to everybody at the hospital about it. And everybody was like shocked because this guy was acting like this was a badge of honor. He was like, no, news it was. I was super excited. I was watching the football game. The kids went over to their friend's house.
Hold on. I don't mean to cut you off, but are you telling us that somebody broke their dick?
Yeah,
that's what he's saying. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what he's saying. Yeah.
He was like,
he broke his dick.
He said he was
I didn't know you can break it.
Oh, I didn't either.
Oh, yeah. You can break it. He said he was watching the football game. What the fuck is you doing? He said he was watching a football game and his kids left to go to their friend's house. And he was like, hey, we got a couple, like an hour or so without the kids. You want to do something? She was like, yeah, let's do it. He was like, but I want to miss the game. So I ain't going to get into specifics, but they was doing it in a way that they both faced the TV. And his team scored a touchdown. He got excited. He tried something new and it didn't work out. And then that's how I ended up in the hospital.
So I'm going to take a guess, right? And I'm going to say that this person happened to be the color of that start with a W and end with an E, and it's five total letters. I'm just gonna guess that.
Yes.
Okay, that's just a random guess. I don't know how I got it right. I have no idea how I got it right. I'm just gonna say that was a completely random guess, though. Yep.
Oh my God. His wife though was Latina.
Lord have mercy.
She was a Latina.
How did it break? I don't understand how it broke. Like, how do you fucking break that?
I didn't get into the specifics of how it broke. I was just like, he's like, I was like, yo, my man.
Yeah, I want to know so I know what not to do so I don't break my shit. I ain't trying to break my shit. He look at that. What he did, aim wrong and hit the tank instead of the hole? What the fuck? Hold it back on itself or something like
that. All I know is Notre Dame scored a touchdown. So that's what got him all excited. That's all I know after that. And he said it sucked because he was super excited about talking to all the nurses and all the people he saw in the hospital. Like, hey, you ever see somebody with something like this before? Like, he was super excited about it. And she was all just red in the face and shit. And she was just like not saying anything because she had to be known as a woman that broke her husband's dick.
Like, how the hell, man? Like, and you said they were both facing to where they could see the game. Like, how the hell did he break his shit? If anything, you know what I'm saying, old lady would have had, you know what I'm saying, a bruise on a forehead or something, because I didn't knock to the fucking TV.
Damn, man would have been like,
my bad. You okay? You okay? Let me get you some Neosporin. I didn't mean to do you like that.
My question for this that story, right? Because after he told me this, I was like, so, how do you explain to your kid when she came back that you had to go to the hospital? Like, what story do you come up with? Do you say daddy was at home and I fell into the TV? Like, what? How do you tell your kid mama and daddy was fucking and we broke my dick? Like, how do you say that to your 14-year-old? Like, I don't know how old the kid is, but I'm like, how do you say that to your kid? I just don't know.
Got to replace that coffee table, baby. I don't know what this is. I'm still trying to figure out how he broke it. How did it break?
I don't know. When he said I tried something new and it didn't work out, that made me second guess everything new that I have ever. Like, I was like, all my knowledge of intercourse to that point was like, all right, cool. I ain't trying nothing new after that. Like, this is it. This is the limit of my experimentation.
I'm like, that sounds like some freaky shit. I don't even know what you could be trying to break your shit.
He
man.
Said it was like quick. It was like, he was like, touchdown. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now you holding your dick now. You just,
exactly.
You go over here like,
I swear to God, literally hand right on it like, that reminds me of somebody saying something. They like, don't call me, if you want to insult somebody, don't call them a pussy, call them a dick.
Why?
Because, if you want to call somebody weak, call them a dick and don't call them a pussy. Well, think about it. A pussy, you know what I'm saying, gills burst, that motherfucker stretches and come back, so it's resilient, right? That motherfucker can take a pound and you know what I'm saying, and still, you know what I'm saying, come back, you know what I'm saying, good to go. You flick a ball sack with your fucking pinky and that motherfucker can send you down to your fucking knee. Somebody kick you in your balls or your dick. You done for the day. It's a wrap. You crying and every damn thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? That pussy is way tougher than a fucking dick is. So if you want to call somebody, we call him a dick. Don't call him a pussy.
Oh, shit. I fucked up. It's fucked up because how accurate it is, right?
I know, right? How accurate it is.
Oh, man.
That's what fucked up.
To my man in England who had to take that visit to the hospital.
Stop shoving shit up your ass.
And just so you know, I don't know how it is in New England, but Adam and Eve delivers. You can just, and they have discreet packaging. You could have and you can order online. You could just do some shit like that.
You can have this shit delivered right to your door.
Just don't let your hobbies don't be this infatuated with your hobbies. Like, this is just too much. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, no. Did you keep the mortar? Like, did you save it after this? I want to know. Did you, after they took it out, did you say put that in a bag? That got to go back on my shelf. Like, did you?
Oh, no. He probably going to try to do it again and just use more lube. be trying to keep that motherfucker. Like, I'd be like, no, I don't even want to see that motherfucker.
Don't have me in the hospital, because I'd have been like, oh, you did this shit again? It's staying in there. I ain't taking that shit out. That shit is staying in there. Learn your fucking lesson, okay?
Could you imagine being the doctor that has to do that operation?
No.
I wouldn't have wanted to do that operation either. I've been like, damn it, this is what I've went through 12 years of medical school for. Be pulling fucking mortars out of people's asses.
That man has officially became a case study.
No shit. Like, I did not sign up for this shit. I wanted to save lives. Sure. I guess he is still saving a life, I guess.
Yeah. Especially, man. So, and thank you for the bomb squad that came in to protect us from that man's asshole. That could have been a very dangerous situation.
Hey, that was a nervous ass fucking nail biting ride to the fucking hospital. It's like a one wrong bump and boom.
What a way to go, man. What a way to go. What do you put on someone's tombstone?
They ass right, blew up.
Right? Damn. Yeah. Why it lasted.
He ain't gonna know what's on that bitch.
Here lies Jimmy. Got his back blown out one last time. And on that note, gosh, oh, what's God, man? So anything you guys want to say?
I'm gonna leave y'all guys with this. Set up a clear direction as to where you're headed in life. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you got your goals clear in your mind and in sight, and know what you're working towards. And oh, one more thing.
Yeah.
Stop sticking shit in your ass. Just stop. Just stop.
Shit. I don't want to see that. Soup, mailman, listen, I love you guys.
You too, bro.
You too, man.
I wish you guys nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, you keep dreaming. Take care.